the king of a bunch of hideous, demonic host, army. And it says in Hebrew, the name is Abaddon. In Greek, it's Apollyon. And his name means the destroyer. There could be a whole message on the destroyer and what he tries to do to us and to our families and our homes, our country. But today I want to bring a different lesson a bit, and that is on the need for godly friendships. Because in this story we see Christian needing a companion. He realizes he doesn't want to go this alone, go through the trials and the struggles alone. He needs others. He hears others. It gives him encouragement. He gets excited. And he's looking and searching for this fellow that the porter told him about. And his name is Faithful. So he was trying to catch up to Faithful, and he finally did at the end. And the story goes on from here of them together facing the trials. So yes, this series is based on this book written by John Bunyan. By the way, Bunyan, he lived between 1628 and 1688, just shy of 60 years. I'd mentioned in other weeks before that he had spent 12 of those years in a prison for continuing to preach the word unauthorized, unapproved by the Church of England at the time. So he spent 12 of those years, and while in that prison, he wrote some things, wrote some books, and one of those he began was this one called Pilgrim's Progress, considered by many to be the first English novel published. Other interesting facts about this book, by the way, Pilgrim's Progress. Let me get a show of hands. Raise your hand if you've actually read this in the past, Pilgrim's Progress. Okay, a good number of you. If you haven't, I encourage you, get a copy of it. There's many versions, but get a copy. If you can get something more of the original adult version, it'd be good reading. This book has never been out of print since it was first published. That's a long time for a book to be continually in print. John Bunyan himself, he died doing what he loved doing the most, and it was preaching. And he never let things like weather get in the way of preaching. And apparently he was somewhere and there was an outdoor event and he was preaching a message and it was raining on him. And he didn't stop though, he continued, and he caught something at that time and it just led to one thing to another, got worse, and he died subsequently. So while we're using Pilgrim's Progress as our springboard, thanks, Jenny. The Bible is our text for, it's our authority for all matters of faith and all matters of Christian living. So that's where we will constantly be going back to. We'll be referring to the Word of God. What does it have to say? So today, the need for godly friendships. We need that in our lives. And so I wanted to speak on why we need it. What is the reason for it? If you ask somebody, how many friends do you have? What's the first thing these days people think of the most? Huh? Come on, don't be bashful. Many people think, oh, how many friends do you have on social media? Or like on Facebook? I got lots and lots of friends. I was looking for the person that had the most friends on Facebook. I came up with somebody apparently that had over 6,000, like 6,150 friends. And I also read that the most friends Facebook allows is 5,000. 5,000. That's a lot. I don't know how many I have, but I can't keep up with the number I do have. I just can't keep up with all of them. I can't imagine having 5,000 or 6,000 friends on Facebook. But how many real friends do you have? I don't mean social media friends. I mean real friends. Do you have 5 that you could say are true friends? 20. Do you have 100? How many of them are close friends that you can just trust with anything? How many of those friends consistently lift you up and encourage you in the Lord? While it's easy to gain a huge number of friends on social media, we all need more than just a few passing acquaintances that just fill our news feed with cute cat videos and the like. Here's some reasons, five reasons, why you need close, godly friendships. And before we start with number one, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for loving us, for saving us, and for giving us a mission and work to do here. But Lord, help us to remember, to realize anew that we can't do this alone. You didn't put us here alone, to struggle alone, to go through trials alone, to do the work alone. You gave us others in our lives. May we be reminded afresh and anew today of this need that we have for godly friendships. And may we do what we can to encourage and nourish those friendships and to be the kind of godly friend that you would want us to be to others. And Lord, I again pray for any in this place. Maybe they're new, maybe they've been here a long time. But if they've never come into a relationship with you, friendship with you through Jesus, I pray that you would work in their hearts, put in their hearts a burden that they can understand the need that they have. May they find that need met in you. Thank you in Jesus' name. And we all say together, amen. Amen. All right. Why do we need godly friendships? Point number one, godly friends encourage you. This is simple, of course. Godly friends encourage you. And by the way, I'm talking about godly friendships. Now, as Christians, we need to be friends with many other people. We need to have friends outside of the church. We need to have friends in the world, in the workplace. We need them. Because how are we to be salt and the light in the world if we don't have friendships within the world? So this is not at the exclusion of saying, well, get rid of all friends who aren't Christians and make sure only Christians are your friends. Okay? We can't do that. Even Jesus went into the homes of sinners and sat and ate with them and talked to them because he wanted to share with them the word. Okay? So we have to understand this. But we need godly friendships in our lives consistently, regularly. We have to have them. Godly friends encourage you. Whether you have a good day or you're a bad day, godly friends are there to encourage you. Not let you wallow in self-pity indefinitely. Instead, they help you remember that everything is under God's control and that you will be okay in Him, even if it doesn't seem like it right now. They are full of encouraging thoughts, genuine care, and they have a wealth of understanding and scripture that they can encourage you and admonish you with. After explaining to the church in Thessalonica of the second coming of the Lord, that he's going to come again like he left, and how it's going to happen, how it's going to transpire, Paul writes to them in 1 Thessalonians 4:8, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort each other with these words. Encourage each other with these words about Jesus Christ, and he is coming again. The church was worried. They were concerned. There was some issues that they were facing. And Paul wrote them to teach them and says, comfort and encourage each other now. The Bible says in Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it is called today. Exhort, comfort, encourage. The words for comfort and exhort here in these two verses that we looked at are the exact same word. It's the exact same Greek word, parakaleo. Parakaleo. Remember that word. Okay? Sounds like parrot, but it's not. Parakaleo. It means to comfort, to exhort. It means to draw near, to invite, to comfort. This is parakaleo. But that same word is used in another passage. In John 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Jesus here is promising the coming of the Holy Spirit after he leaves. He says, I'm going to send to you another helper. Do you see that word helper? That word is in Greek, paraklete. Does that sound familiar? I hope so, because we just heard of parakaleo. It's the same meaning. And what Jesus is saying is that there's going to be another one coming like me, and he's a helper, a comforter, an encourager, an advocate, a consoler. This is the Holy Spirit that I'm going to be sending to you, and this is what he does. This is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that we, as believers, are to be doing the same thing that the Holy Spirit does for us to other people. Comforting, encouraging, drawing near, lifting up, admonishing. That's the Holy Spirit's work. And the Bible says, do the same thing to others. This is what we need godly friendships for, because they encourage you. So what does this mean? Godly friendships, encouraging. It doesn't mean that we just pat each other on the back no matter what and say, good job, you're doing okay. Although sometimes there's a time for that. Amen, we need that too. But that's not the only thing that's talking about. It means encouraging each other, three words, in the Lord. And this is different. You can go to the local rugby team and, you know, you get encouragement and pat on the back and saying, you can do it, good job. But this is different. Encouragement in the Lord. We encourage each other to be faithful to the Lord. Be obedient to the Lord. We need friendships, godly friendships, that encourage this in us and admonish us to obedience. We remind each other of spiritual truths. And sometimes we see someone who needs a boost of encouragement in these truths. Sometimes we put an arm around someone and says, I see you're going through a hard time. I'll pray for you. And you mean it. I'm going to pray for you. We encourage each other to be faithful to the end. So this is what godly friendships do. They encourage us. And you need to be a godly friend to others as well. You need to be that kind of friend yourself. Two weeks in a row, we had a cell phone go off. Let's put them on mute or off, please. Why we need godly friends, number two. Godly friends ask hard questions. Hard questions. I'm not talking about trivia. In what year did King Arthur? They ask the hard questions. When you're really struggling and a friend asks how you're doing, it's very tempting and easy to say, oh, I'm fine, thank you. But godly friends may not let you get away with that. They ask the difficult questions. They want to find out how you really are, how they can help you, how they can pray for you. Whether you're struggling in some serious things, Santiago, go sit down. Thank you. And don't play with the cell phone. Whether you're struggling with depression or struggling to in your faithfulness, to say your spouse, whatever it is, your closest godly friends want to know what's really going on, and they want to be there for you and encourage you in the Lord and admonish you in the Lord. I got a good verse for you. Look at this one together. In fact, say it with me, would you? Proverbs 27:6. Say it with me. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I love Proverbs. Proverbs constantly has these proverbs, sayings, and they compare and contrast two different things. This one says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So it's comparing friends and enemies. It's comparing wounds and kisses. It says, a friend, a close godly friend, his wounds are faithful. It may hurt, but he doesn't do it to destroy you. That's the difference. The wounds of an enemy are there to hurt and to destroy and to bring down. But the wounds of a godly friend are there to admonish and encourage you. There's a big difference. It says the kisses of the enemy are deceitful. Those who don't care may be very nice and flattering, but it doesn't mean they necessarily care about your welfare and your faithfulness, your walk with the Lord, your obedience to Him. They may not care about all that. You may have a lot of friends, but you need some godly friends to encourage you and to ask the hard questions. And by the way, don't take this verse as just blank permission to be a jerk to anyone and just remind them, hey, but faithful are the wounds of a friend. I'm just saying it the way I see it. No. That's not being nice, okay? You have to be a genuine person, walking with the Lord, and the things that you say are to encourage, to help, admonish, to lift up a brother, a sister in the Lord, not just to tear them down. Why do we need godly friendships? Number three, godly friends offer good counsel. Okay, here it is. Advice is very easy to come by. Every time you turn around, you're going to have a lot of different opinions. You can have 100 different opinions. And many of these opinions may oppose each other. Godly friends give you advice you can trust. However, their advice is based on Scripture, and they give it with your uniqueness in mind, your unique personality in mind, your needs in mind. But it's still going to be based on the Word of God because they're walking with the Lord. So this is a big difference. Now, listen, it is true. If you have 10 godly Christian friends, they may offer you some advices and they may be somewhat different than each other. But the difference is this. If they're godly and they're walking with the Lord, they all have that in common, and they all have the Word of God as the foundation in common. And that's going to be a lot different than those outside who are not walking with the Lord. So when important decisions come into your life and you're needing some godly counsel, you need some godly friends. And even then, you need to see, you know, if they're going to offer you some counsel, how's your walk with the Lord going lately? Are you walking with Him? Are you being faithful to Him now? Are you serving Him now? These are important things if you're going to receive godly advice from them. Proverbs 11:14 tells us, where there is no counsel, the people fail. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. We need godly counsel. We need some godly input. So the general rule here is, the more important the decision in your life, the more important it is to seek godly counsel from others regarding that decision. It's not about just everyday things. Where are we going for lunch today? I don't know. Let me survey 10 godly people. No. The more important the decision in your life, though, truly, the more important it is to seek some godly counsel. A multitude of counsel. Let me give you a couple of things to remember, though. And by the way, narrow it down. Narrow it down to some of your closest godly friends. If you go just asking everyone you meet, should I do this, should I do that? and you're just asking everybody, every chance you get, you're going to get a ton of different answers, and it could be more confusing for you. So you don't need just as many as you can get, 5,000 friends on Facebook kind of thing. Narrow it down to just a few that you trust and you know are walking with the Lord and can give you some valuable input into something. But two important things to remember. First, the values of the source you're receiving counsel from. Proverbs 12:5 says, "The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful." Pretty simple. That's why we've already mentioned, are you walking with the Lord? Are you being faithful and obedient to Him now? Are you living for Him? Are you living right in Him? This is important. You may be contemplating something that requires a great deal of trust in God to do. Someone who is not a believer will surely counsel you differently than a fellow brother in Christ. You need godly friendships. There may be friends and family who love you, but if they're not believers, you can surely expect their counsel to be different because they have a different foundation that they're basing it on. The values of who it is you're getting input from, but the second thing to remember is the motive of the person. They may love you, but they may be driven by some different motives. If they have something to gain by your decision, if they have a fear of something that happened to them in the same situation, that's a motive. So what is the motive of the person? So in summary here, what time should you seek counsel? Again, not just what to have for dinner, but important things in life. You may find employment changes, an opportunity, and you're not sure if it's going to be helpful for you and your family. That's a good time to look to your godly closest friends. Moving location. Hey, I got this door opened up. God opened up a door to me to move away overseas. That may be, but it may also be a good time to talk with these godly friends that you have, to share input into your life and to learn from them as they're walking with the Lord. Relationship difficulties. And be careful again of the multitude of counselors that you entrust relationship difficulties to. But again, there may be just very close godly friends that you need in life to encourage you and to help you. Possible marriage. Should I marry this person or not? This is a good time. Spiritual matters. I can't tell you how many times someone has come and announced a big decision that they have made. And when inquired, "Have you talked to other people about this decision?" they affirm, "No, but I've really prayed about it, and God has told me that this is what I should do." And that kind of shuts the door to discussion because I prayed about it and God told me. You know, even though the same God that told them said there's also wisdom and a multitude of godly counsel. And so I encourage you, listen to what God is saying here and use the people that He's put into your life, those walking along with you. Why do we need Christian friends? Fourthly, godly friends keep you accountable. We need this. They don't do this to be judgmental or belittle you, but because they truly care. Let me tell you something about me. I'm thankful. When I was a young person, when I was a teenager in particular, I had some godly friends. Godly young people, some may say. I thought young people were always rebellious and just need to mature a lot. Well, there are some godly young people, and I believe even here in the church, there are godly young people. That's far from perfect. Don't misunderstand me. Far from perfect. I was far from perfect, but I had a group of friends that I was surrounded with that were believers. And I believe they were genuine. And I believe they wanted to follow God. They wanted to obey and do things His way. They weren't perfect, but that was their goal. They were believers. And this led to accountability. And when one was contemplating something wrong, there were times when the others would say, "What do you mean? Why would you want to do that? Why did you do that?" And they would come alongside and paraclete alongside of other people, admonish them, encourage them, lift them up, come alongside them. You need that in your life, and I need that. I need that too. Now, I'm thankful in my work and my ministry, I have a number of also godly men in particular who are also ministers. And we get together and we talk and we share. And the more we can do that, the better, because it develops a bond, it develops a closeness, and it develops a group that can be accountable to one another as well. But we all need this. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Now, life isn't always easy. And sometimes we can be just plain stupid. We can be dumb. And we do stupid things. And you think you're too spiritual to do something stupid? You better think again. Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, "Therefore to him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall." Don't get too prideful in your spiritual walk with the Lord, thinking I'm beyond some of these other things that I see others doing. Be careful, be alert, and realize you need a community of godly friendships, because when you fall, someone's there to pick you up and help you. And you're there to help someone else as well. It's not just about you and what your needs are, but you be there for others as well. Speaking to pastors and the qualifications of a pastor, Paul writes in 1 Timothy that a pastor is not a novice in the faith. That is, he's not a brand new Christian. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. To fall literally means to be overwhelmed with. And so there's a caution here. Someone who's in the leadership position of shepherding a church, be careful. And this is a safeguard, not a brand new believer, lest he become overcome with pride. Just this week, is this working? Am I cutting or not? Is it okay? Okay. It's okay or not? Some are saying yes, some are saying no, so I don't. I got some thumbs up. I'll go with the thumbs up. Just this past week, I was talking to a friend. We were talking about how many people like to use Jesus' words, "Judge not, lest you be judged." I mean, people outside the church know this passage of Scripture, and they like to use it. They like to use it as a blanket statement to not make any moral judgments about anyone's actions. Because Jesus says, don't judge, lest you be judged yourself. And I want to say, no. Jesus' emphasis on this passage is on addressing your own sin and not being a hypocrite, not being a Pharisee, and pointing out the sin and enjoying pointing out the sin in other people's life in pride. But you yourself are not walking with the Lord. We need to be willing to hold others accountable. And it's not judging. When you come alongside a friend and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. I'll just come out and say it. You shouldn't be sleeping with your girlfriend. It's not judging them. God's word already tells us about this. God has already made the determination. He's already judged it himself. And you as a friend are the one being able to say, don't do this. This is the wrong way. And this way is leading to some problems. I'm not saying I'm better than you or I am incapable of doing the same kinds of things, but I see you're struggling here and you need some accountability. As a Christian, there's nothing really for us to be prideful about. Is there? There's nothing. Except in the cross, take pride in your Savior. But there's nothing in ourselves to be prideful about. We realize that we are saved only by God's grace and not by anything we have done, not by anything He saw in us. So we understand this. We need to be reminded of it. We're saved by grace alone. We realize we cannot look down on another who has sinned in a particular area because we also could go down that same path except for the grace of God. So where is pride? There is no place for pride in the believer's life. We need each other. We need godly friends so we can both be accountable to them, and also we need to be willing to be there for others. You need godly friends. Be a godly friend. Finally, number five, godly friends have the resources you need. That's it. They have the I'm not referring to money, although there's a time for that. You know, a friend helps another friend in a time of need. There's issues happening and you're there for them because you love. None of us, though, has all the answers. And thankfully, when we band together, we are much stronger than we are individually. Ecclesiastes 4:12. You might know this passage. Maybe you've heard it. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can resist him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Have you heard that? You often hear this at weddings, don't you? It's a wedding verse, isn't it? But it's not really talking about husband and wife. It can be, and it's applicable. But the basic principle is the need for going through life with other godly friends. If you do it alone, you may be overcome by enemies. You may be overcome by trials, by temptations, whatever. Depression, anxiety, discouragement, trials and suffering. You may be overcome by these. And if you're alone, you're on your own. But if you have others with you, they can help you stand and help you keep going and get through. This is what this passage is talking about. So yes, it applies in a marriage. God gave us spouses, those of us who are married. The Bible says to be a helper, a help meet, one who complements the other one. We need that, but we also need godly friendships. Not only do godly friends offer the advice, accountability, the prayers you need, but they connect you with resources you need as well. Sometimes it's practical. You need a ride to church. Your car's broke down. You can't drive. Your car's crashed. You're sick. Whatever the need may be. You have a question about the Bible, and you don't know where to find the answer. Maybe some of your godly friends can assist you. Need some encouragement for the journey. Godly friends either have just what you need, or they can also connect you with other people. Or other things, other ways that they know of to meet that need. Again, I want to say the point of this sermon is not you need to get rid of all other friendships that aren't godly. Because we are to be salt and light in this world. We're to influence others. But we must also be cautious. Your closest, innermost group need to be those that are going to lift you up, those who are walking with the Lord themselves, those who will encourage you and keep you on that path. If your primary resource out there is those who want nothing to do with God, chances are, instead of you pulling them up, they will pull you down. So, don't just eliminate all friendships outside of the church. but look to have your primary needs, your encouragement, met by godly friendships. We need it. You need it. Please stand with me. Just head bowed time. Obviously, I believe that this message was primarily intended for an audience of believers. I understand that there may be some here who aren't believers. There may be some who maybe are attenders, but you yourself have never come to faith in Christ. And so I encourage you and urge you to consider this first. Jesus at one time said to his followers, "I no longer call you servants, but friends." He wants you to be a friend of God. He's still God. He's still Father. But he wants so much more than just us serving him as servants. He wants a relationship with you. So I encourage you, if you've never trusted Christ, talk to me, Pastor Mike, young people, Brother Josh. And we can share with you, we can show you what the Bible says about our faith in Christ. But Christians, I want to encourage you today in your heart right now to commit yourself to two things. One, making sure you nurture, seek out and nurture these godly friendships that you may have. Maybe you've taken them for granted, but I want you to rekindle that commitment in your heart to godly friendships. And commit yourself, secondly, commit yourself to being the kind of friend that others may need. You need to be that kind of friend to others as well that we've been talking about. Will you do that this morning? Let's take some time in prayer. Bow your head, close your eyes. You spend some time with the Lord. Commit yourself to these two things. And I'll lead us in just a moment. Lord God, I thank you for your word to us today, this lesson, Lord, that we read from the story with the kids, the encouragement that Christian found from realizing there were others on the journey with him, and he desired so much to connect up with them, to walk with them, to go through it with them. Lord, we need the same thing in our lives. So I pray, Father, that we would nurture the relationships of godly friendships that we have. Nurture them, value them, and treasure them. And that we also, Lord, would seek to be that kind of friend to others. To come alongside, to encourage and uplift. To be accountable to and hold them accountable as we walk this journey together. And Father, if there are any in this place that do not have a relationship, they are not friends with you, I pray, Lord, that you would open their eyes to what you have done for them, that you sent Jesus to pay their sins so that they can be made right with you, a holy God. Lord, would you work in their hearts, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. So please take a seat, and we have just a few announcements we want you to hear before we're dismissed.
For the message this morning, if you have your bulletins, just look on the inside pages, just a few things we'd like to share with you. before we're dismissed, under announcements and notices, we have the Chinese New Year worship service coming up. That's our next big event on the calendar for this year. That's on Sunday, the 18th of February. Now, we still have the 11 o'clock services at that time. So what we're going to be doing on that day is everyone meeting in here at 11 o'clock. And then after the worship service, we're going to be going over to the Barry Curtis Park for a picnic that will start just around 1 o'clock. So we encourage you to come along, bring some friends. We'll have some fellowship time and games and activities and things that will be set up at the park. So that's the 18th of February, and that is our Chinese New Year's service. While I'm mentioning that, I'll just go ahead and mention as well that that's the last worship service that we have here at the 11 o'clock service as a combined service. The following Sunday, the 25th of February, we're back to our usual schedule where we'll have 8:30 worship service, 10 o'clock Sunday school, and then the 11 o'clock service. So that starts back on the 25th of February. We also have some ladies' Bible studies that will be coming up. The Friday night ladies' Bible study will be doing a new study called The Promised Land, and that'll be Friday nights, sometimes early in March, and you can see Pastor Ken's wife, Jennifer, if you have any questions about that and you'd like to sign up for that. There's a book that goes along, and that book will be $20 each. We also have the BTC, or the Bible Training College classes. Here at IBC, we'll be doing part two of the New Testament survey. So those of you who are enrolled and you did the first part just before Christmas, part two starts on the 8th of February right here at IBC. If you intended to be a part of the Bible training classes, but maybe you've missed for the last few terms, we're beginning back in the very beginning, book number one, Bible Study Methods. And that will take place with Pastor Irwin. We haven't confirmed the venue yet. It may be here or it may be at Pastor Irwin's church. That begins on the 13th of February on a Tuesday. So if you're interested in that, see me or Pastor Ken, and we'll get you enrolled and registered. I just mentioned the summer holiday schedule a moment ago. It begins back on the 25th. Ends on the 18th, and we begin back on the 25th. Also, our missionaries pray for George Booth and his wife. Pray for them and their health, and some recent hospital stays that he has had. But he's recovering well, so we continue to pray for him and thank the Lord for his ministry. Our other missionary updates are posted on the board in the back, and you can see those by taking just a moment and reading through them. Well, I think that's all of the announcements that we need to share with you. But before we're dismissed, we'll recognize and celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. Is there anyone celebrating a birthday this week, coming up from today through Saturday? Or perhaps even last week, and we missed your birthday last week. Anyone celebrating a birthday? Come on up here. Come on up, Diego. Scrooge. Come on up. Anyone else celebrating a birthday this week? Come on up here, Jaden. Jaden's birthday this week. Anyone else with a birthday? How about wedding anniversaries? Wedding anniversaries. Anyone celebrating wedding anniversary this week? Anyone with a wedding anniversary? Joy? Birthday, it's your anniversary, is that right? Birthday or anniversary? Birthday. Okay, I thought if you were coming up for anniversary, where's IG? But birthday. At the end of the month, same month. Anyone else with birthday or anniversary? Let's all stand together. We're going to sing Happy Birthday, and then Pastor Ken will come and dismiss us. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, am I on? We have a couple of things here. People have left after church. The teapot. Actually, pardon? Catherine? All this stuff, including this? Oh, okay. Okay, thank you, Catherine. Very good, very good. Props. All right. I was wondering why people are bringing this to church. I didn't want to judge. Okay, come and get it after church. All right, let's be dismissed in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your word to us today, for the time we've had together, the encouragement to come together, to sing praises, to be challenged in the word. But Lord, may we leave this place and not not just forget the things that we have heard, but Lord, may we seek to nourish and cherish the godly friendships we have and to be that kind of friend to others every day, not just on Sundays, but every day, Lord. We need this. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.